The gospel lesson today is from Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. It begins, Then the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It is written, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God." After that, the devil brought him into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down, for it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus replied, "Again, it's written, don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, "I'll give you all these if you bow down and worship me." Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil left him, and the angels came and took care of him. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the words today, and we thank you for what they mean in our lives. We ask that what you teach us through the Gospel of Matthew may it guide us at the beginning of our journey. Over the next 40 days, we will be filled with them temptations. We'll be filled with the many evils of life. But we ask that you just put the grace on our heart and the love to go forward. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I'm sort of getting a cold nose. I don't know about you. I'm not complaining. I want you to know that. I'm not. I actually feel quite well. You know, last Sunday I didn't wear a sweater, so it was like a little warm up here. So maybe I'm paying the price. I don't know. But the wilderness. Hey, if we were out in the wilderness right now, we'd all be wearing our coats, right? I think many people struggle with the concept of wilderness. For some people, they have experienced what wilderness is. I love to tell people this. I live where people vacation, where people go to explore nature. I can walk out my back door and walk for miles and never hit a town. I could go outside and just sit and watch nature. But is that wilderness? For some, it is extreme. Never knowing nothing more than a simple park tucked away into the landscape of a city. Never walking through prairie grass. Never seeing an animal like bears or coyotes or even wolves. Never hearing the sounds of nature other than the sounds of a car rushing by. Is this wilderness? Is wilderness where we can find God? Is the wilderness where you can connect with God? Or is the wilderness this, a place of punishment, where the land is dry, where the weather is harsh, where the desolation seems lonely? What is your wilderness? The truth is this, that wilderness is more than just emptiness. The wilderness is about transformation. Throughout the Bible, we can read stories about this transformation, like the Israelites and their 40-year trek, or prophets who hear from God, and even Jesus, today with Jesus, fresh out of that holy sphere of baptism, where we tend to think Jesus' ministry started when he walked into the Jordan. But after that, he could have walked to the nearest temple. He could have went straight to the side of a mountain, or he could have went to the nearest palace. Rather, where he chose to start his ministry was in a desert, fasting, contemplating for 40 days and nights. And I use the term chose here lightly, because I don't think he really chose this. Rather, he was led by the Holy Spirit, and the time spent there wasn't to break him, nor was it to test his worthiness. Rather, it was to clarify his calling, showing us, showing him just what kind of Messiah he would be, what kind of ministry he would embody, and what kind of kingdom he would proclaim. I know many of you think that this story is all about avoiding sin. Well, it isn't. What it is about is this: choosing what kind of power will guide your life. And there's plenty of power in the temptations around us, both good and bad. Today you heard me read from Matthew's Gospel, a story that we've heard many times. In the story, we hear about Jesus at the end of his 40-day and night fast. Now, Jesus is hungry. He is vulnerable. He is in a place where everything has been stripped away. And as we know, something is going to happen. And what is that something? He gets a visit from the devil, where the devil offers Jesus three different things. We call them temptations. The first one, which is this: since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread. Let's think logically about this for a moment. We know Jesus is hungry, and we all know what it is like when you are hungry. There's this level of hangriness. Anybody get hangry? Yeah. Where you can't think straight. Where all that is on your mind is to get the rumblings of your stomach to just stop. But here's the thing. We know Jesus has the power, so why doesn't he just turn the stone to bread? The answer to that question is this: that the temptation itself goes a lot deeper than just simple hunger. This is about power. It is about control. It is about avoiding the vulnerable. It is about bypassing the human experience. That is why Jesus refuses. It isn't because bread is bad. It isn't because bread will cure his hunger. It is because control is not a foundational part of the kingdom. In this moment, Jesus is making a conscious choice about his ministry. He wants to be there struggling with humanity. He doesn't want to live into this divine exemption. Just look at humanity. We are looking for the quick fixes. We like the super glues of life, where there is pain in our lives. When there is pain in our lives, we combat it with consumption, distraction, even certainty. But when Jesus says, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God, he's telling us that there is another way, a way that we can enter our own vulnerability honestly, by trusting that God will meet us in those moments. Friends, God isn't here to avoid us, but to be there with us always. Next, the devil takes Jesus into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. And this is what the devil asks him to do. Since you are God's son, throw yourself down. For it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone. Just to let you all know, this temptation is not about gravity. Rather, it is about providing belovedness. I don't know if it's just my generation, but there are times when I feel like I have to prove my worth. Or do you have any of you ever felt that way? You have to prove your worth? How about proving your faithfulness? How about this one, proving that you are good enough, pure enough, right enough? How about the people out there who have been turned away from churches because of the way they live their lives, where the church has hurt them so badly that they carry trauma, where they've been told that God's love must be earned? This is not what Jesus taught. Jesus refuses to make belovedness a performance. He refuses a faith that requires a spectacle of certainty. He refuses a God who demands proof. When Jesus sits on top of that temple and says, "Don't test the Lord your God," he is telling us that God loves us without condition, without tests, without ultimatums. Yet here we are, testing each person, judging those who are different, and not loving those who need it. The third temptation brings Jesus and the devil to a very high mountain. The devil points out to everything around them and says these words, "I will give you all these if you bow down and worship me." I don't know how many times a week I think of this verse while listening to what is happening around the world. This is an everyday temptation, one that involves political, social, spiritual dominance, a temptation that uses God's name to gain power, a temptation of shortcuts rather than the long road of love. In this moment, Jesus realized what the devil is offering. So Jesus refuses and tells the devil this, "Go away, Satan, because it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Friends, Jesus did not come to rule over people. He did not come to use violence to establish the kingdom. Rather, what Jesus came for was to walk with us. And he does it by using compassion, justice, and truth. Because the kingdom of God is not about supremacy. Rather, it is about mutuality, dignity, community, and love. I understand how hard temptations are, because they come to us in moments when we look at others and feel insecure about not having enough. They come in judgments we make about strangers or friends who make choices we don't understand. They rule us, making us able to look away from those in need and to live our lives unaffected by poverty, hunger, and disease. It rages in moments when we allow our tempter to define our lives, or when addiction to wealth, power, influence over others, vanity, or an inordinate need for control defines who we are. Temptation wins. When we engage in the justification of little lies, small sins, a simple joke, a questionable business practice for the greater good, a criticism of a spouse or partner when they're not around, temptation wins. When we get so caught up in the trappings of life that we lose sight of life itself, this is when evil wins. In those faceless moments that lurk in the recesses of our lives and our souls, we all have those dark places in our lives. And today, Jesus is inviting each one of us to explore our own wilderness. But how? First, we have to resist the temptation to escape pain. We hate pain. We hate physical and mental pain, but to resist, we need to face our open wounds honestly. And we do it by trusting that God will meet us when we need it the most. Then we need to realize that faith is not built on performance. You are all worthy, you are all loved, and you are all God's children. Then we have to admit to ourselves that Christianity is and has never been about denomination, or domination. Wrong word, must be cold. We are all asked to live into compassion. We are called to live into justice. We accept all for who they are, and we welcome everyone into the community of disciples. Our church is just a small part of the larger church. We are called to do kingdom work, and we are called to do it in love. And we do it through our own wilderness, where what we plant will grow, where our mission as disciples never cease, and where truth outweighs lies. Because God's care always finds us after we face hard truths. One thing I don't want to overlook today is the very last verse. Here's what Matthew writes. The devil left him, and the angels came and took care of him. I often wonder how many people thought this. God sent angels to Jesus because he earned it. Just think, he spent 40 days and nights fasting. At the end, he warded off the devil. He deserves angelic care. Really, here's what this is telling us today. That God never judged Jesus. That God never critiqued Jesus. All God did was send Jesus a little bit of tenderness. And the sad part is this, that many people, they have never learned this. That God tends to us when we struggle. That God sits with us when we are exhausted. And that God nourishes us without demanding anything in return. That is who our loving God is. Jesus did have to leave the wilderness, though. And as he left, he begins his ministry. One where he heals the sick, meets those on the margins, and welcomes everyone. And loves even those who were hard to love. His time in the wilderness didn't weaken him, rather it grounded him. Just like our time in the wilderness. But if you are still out there exploring, take heart. God meets us in those places of solitude and struggle. God is not testing you to break you. Rather, what God is doing is forming you for something deeper, truer, and freer. And as we follow Jesus out of the wilderness into his ministry, as followers, let's choose love over control. Let's choose trust over performance and justice over domination. Because our wilderness is our holy space, filled with clarity, courage, grace, and love. Amen.